We're going live.
We're going live. Hello, you beautiful nerds. Welcome to the Drunk Banthas podcast, where we talk about sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and all the popular art that we love.
And also, we do it drunk.
I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and brother Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are y'all doing out there in the world?
Yes, yes. Please let us know how you're doing in the world on the live chat. We are going live now for the Drunk Banthas podcast, as you can tell. And we are joined by a special, special guest coming all the way from the Nine Nerd Yards channel. It is Brad Wolf. What's going on?
Not much, not much. Glad to be here with some of my favorite podcasters in the game.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, you know, we're your favorite podcasters, favorite podcaster.
Mm-hmm. Sure fucking are.
Be a podcaster from your favorite podcasters, favorite podcasters, favorite podcaster.
That's like 16 walls.
That's like 16 walls, man.
We have we have a very exciting show for you guys today. We're talking about Gen V. We're talking about Loki. We're talking about Rick and Morty.
And they all happen to rhyme.
And of course, as always, we're talking shit. But let's go ahead and get started. Let's get jump. Oop, shit.
Oh, fuck.
There's something in front of you.
There's something in front of you.
But let's go ahead. Facial awareness.
Let's just slide this down to you.
Yeah, let's get started. Get closer. With Gen V. It is episode 7. Sick. Mary and Jordan break into Shetty's office to gather evidence and present it to Victoria Newman, and a politician who came to Godolkin University for a town hall meeting, during which they learned Shetty's family was killed in a plane crash caused by Homelander. Man, this is like a pretty crazy episode. A lot of things that were going on. We got Victoria Newman coming back into
the Newman
show, which I was very excited to see her. What are the initial thoughts you guys had about Sick? Jeff, I'll let you go first.
I mean, same thought I have for pretty much every episode. I'm enjoying the hell out of this show. I think they're writing a story. I think they're writing the story well. I think they're pulling it off well, and I think they're doing a really good job of setting it up in the Boys universe, but to a younger audience, set in the college. Like, everything about this show, I think, is good. I think it's just another great episode.
Another great episode indeed. I agree. This show and the showrunner can do no wrong in my mind. Even when they're bad episodes, I wouldn't know it because I love all of them. So hopefully I don't ever notice those.
Yeah.
But for me, it's all dope. It's always dope. Yeah. And but you know what I noticed? I always have trouble remembering all the episodes, like what happened right after, because it's so much that gets crammed into one little 45 minutes or an hour, however long it is. It's so much that gets crammed into that one little time frame. But I always have to go back and watch it. And also I get drunk and then like pass out and then wake up. And then I wake up and then I go back and like, I go back and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna start from right here. Yeah, I was right here. And then I roll a blunt and I smoke that, and then I'm drinking, and then I pass out like close to the end. And then I have to go back and go back. Sometimes I miss something, but then it turns out that I didn't miss anything. When I go back and watch it, I'm like, oh, no, I saw all this.
Yeah, you caught it like through osmosis in your sleep.
Right.
I really like this episode too, and it's funny with all the stuff that's coming out about Marvel and how they make TV shows like not very well because they're not doing what people do when they make TV shows.
No, they are not.
And it's funny, like I think it was a year and a half ago, the showrunner for this show, Eric Kripke, came out and was like, "Yeah, all these TV shows, they're making them like they're movies, and that's not how it's supposed to be. TV shows are TV shows." And it's just like, it's just
you hear that guys profound shit right here at the Drunk Banthas Nerds at Night. Thank y'all for whoever's watching at Nerds at Night, and thank you for whoever's watching at Drunk Banthas. Welcome. He just said some profound shit.
Quoted the Dalai Lama himself.
Yeah,
the Dalai
TV
Lama
show TV show is a TV show. Now, for those out there who don't know that, that means TV show is a TV show.
Yeah, they got lucky with WandaVision, and with Loki, they got somebody, like, you know, they got some Rick and Morty writers, so they also know how to write a TV show. But yeah, the boys, or sorry, Gen V, they just, like, these creators continue to just astonish me how well they
astonishment. Is that what you speak of, sir?
Astonishment.
Yes. Yeah, astonishment.
Quite.
And did you hear Kripke's newest quote about, did you hear his newest quote about the Boys universe after Gen V got approved for season 2?
No. I don't live close enough to hear him.
Evidently, Kripke, nice. Evidently, Kripke was predicting that the Boys will go 5 seasons. But after the popularity of Gen V and it getting renewed for season 2, he retracted that, saying, like, I don't know how long it'll go because it's just the whole universe is so popular.
Yeah.
And his famous quote is, I might be the worst person on earth at predicting just how long a TV show will go.
Yeah.
Famously the showrunner for Supernatural, which that show, it went on for 172 years, I think.
Yeah, 173. It went on because it was supposed to go 172.
Because of the pandemic.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 172, but then it got canceled, but then it came back.
Yeah, I think it got picked up by Adult Swim.
I don't know. We'll talk about super fucking natural. Fuck that. We're not talking about Supernatural.
We can spend all night talking about Supernatural.
Yeah, because it lasted for 25 years. So, yes, of course.
Yeah, 25 years, the first season, yeah.
Yeah. No lie, the first season is 92 episodes long.
People like to talk about how much Futurama got canceled or how many times Family Guy got canceled. Nigga, Supernatural got canceled like 17 times and came back every single time.
So many times I thought
got came back like until they was like, look, I'm not coming back to do this show. And they were like, okay, well, we out. Anyway, we're talking about Gen Z, you know, because.
Or even Gen V.
I mean, yeah, Gen V.
Gen Z. We're talking about Gen Vers. We're talking
Gen
about
them all. Vers, Gen Zers, you know, tomato, tomato. But yeah, we're talking because dude from Supernatural plays Soldier Boy. We saw him in the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so this episode, we don't get him, which is a shame, but we do get a person from The Boys, a character from The Boys. We get, what's her name?
Victoria, the vice president. Newman.
The vice president, or yeah, she's the vice president now because she established she's vice president now by saying that your friend could even be the vice president. So
who is she in Supernatural?
No, not her.
The president.
No. I was just bringing Soldier Boy in.
Oh.
And then I segued. That was a segue.
Well, how about this? She's vice president to the president from Supernatural.
Yes. He is from
He's Bobby.
Bobby. There's a lot of Supernatural going on. A lot of Supernatural stuff going on.
A lot of Supernatural.
And if this goes like the comic books, he's going to die in this too.
About time. Oh,
Bobby will die. God damn it.
Damn it, Bobby.
Yeah, things are definitely picking up. What did you guys think of Victoria Newman's inclusion in this episode? Like, because at first I thought it was kind of going to be kind of benign. Like, you know, maybe she says something a little like cagey, is like, well, don't lose your head. And then, like, you know, she leaves. But the show is better than that. They use their cameos a lot better.
Whack shit like that. Jeff, how did you feel about Victoria Newman? I can't remember her name, her real name.
But the actress's name.
The actress's name. But yeah, how did you feel about her performance here?
It was good. I liked it. I liked how they had her. So the part that I thought was the best about it was we as the audience clearly know she has superpowers. And obviously later in the episode, Marie finds out as well. But those are the only people. I mean, there's a couple people within Vought or, you know, on the boys payroll that know. But the part that really got me is when she's just sitting there and she's talking to all the students and she's on like that panel or what the panel of one or whatever. And yeah, the town hall. Thank you. And when the students start acting like, well, again, they act exactly like you'd expect college age kids with superpowers to act.
Yeah.
So they start, you know, throwing some power around and things like that. And, you know, she's telling her handler, like, no, stay. But, like, if you look at her, she still looks a little worried, a little, like, uh-oh, what's going to happen?
She's like, this shit might pop off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't want to be in here with a bunch of, like, 20-year-old souped-up kids who have a fucking temper. Like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she's more powerful than all of them. So it wouldn't have mattered. If she needed to fight her way out of there, she would have been fucking fine.
You know what? That's a good. I'm glad you said that. Do you think that she's more powerful than everybody is? You know, because
she's got a pretty rad
power. Yes, because
she's extremely afraid of Homelander.
Well, yeah, wouldn't you be?
Well, not if I was more powerful than him. Then no,
I didn't say more powerful than Homelander, but more powerful than the kids.
Okay,
and I thought you meant why
all of them. Like all
No. She's more powerful than anyone else in that room.
Got it.
Just to talk about Homelander, I did really like that scene where the two of them are in the same room
in the barn.
Like,
No,
it was. And so I think it was at his apartment. Yeah, her apartment. And
she wasn't like, it at her house with her daughter.
Yeah. And she's like, I could just like pop your head or something like that. He's like, you could try. You can see if that works.
Yeah.
And I liked him calling her bluff because she's like, damn, I don't know if it's gonna work on you.
Yeah. Right.
Like, hey, that might not work.
I really like the vulnerability or performance in this moment, to your point, Jeff.
But I think that was her character putting on an act, is my part of it. Because remember the that doctor, the one who she ends up having a disagreement with at the end.
Yeah.
Remember when he's talking about Marie, he's saying she's more powerful than she even knows. And if she were to like learn her powers, she would be crazy powerful. Mm-hmm. Well, what's her face? She knows her powers. She knows she's that powerful and she has the same power set. So I don't think she was actually as worried as she let on. And I think she was doing it to conceal her powers more.
Alex, I was just gonna say how you feel about her performance.
I thought she was great in this episode. I found her name, by the way, Claudia Dumit.
Claudia Dumit. Hats off to you. Fine as hell. Killing everybody in The Boys, in my opinion, when like other than the guy who plays the butcher, she's like destroying everybody acting wise.
Yeah, she's
and then also Starlight. She'd be killing everybody.
Yeah, Erin Moriarty.
She's wonderful.
She'd be killing.
It's funny. I just saw Five Nights at Freddy's, and I was like, "Oh, this actress is like not Erin Moriarty." I really liked her performance in this, and I like the fact that there was like this the way that they're revealing Marie's powers because they did have the moment where she makes the dude's dick explode.
Boom.
And then there was something in the back of my head that was like, huh, that's kind of like, I guess she could just make anybody explode. Or I guess it's kind of like Newman's power. But it just kind of like went in one ear and out the other.
Definitely.
Like, I didn't think that at all.
I definitely thought about it. But, you know, I've been kind of thinking about it the whole time. I hadn't really said nothing because I don't like to be wrong on this show. but I do love being right. And... And I kind of felt like that might be it. Like when Alex was talking about the dick explosion, I was, you know, my first situation where I thought about it was when she kills her parents. So it was two things. I knew immediately that she had like started her period.
And well, yeah, was, of course.
That had to do with her power somehow because I saw the little poster for it. I saw the billboard for it. And she's like got blood coming out of her hands in the billboard.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, so that's how she gets her power.
And Bill's sitting there like, oh, God, she has her period in her hands.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, good God, that is disgusting. Like most things on this show, that shit was gross. and I was just like, oh, okay, so that's how she gets her power. And then boom, she kills her parents. I was like, ooh, I wonder how she kills her parents, because this is kind of what happens on these shows, you know, on this show.
Right,
you know?
This is where the show, these kind of the shows go.
This is where it goes. Boom, she kills her parents, like as soon as I think about it. And then I was thinking, I wonder if that's similar to what's her name? Why can't I remember Victoria Newman. Victoria Newman.
Newman.
Yeah, because the name's the dude's. I keep wanting to call her Victor because that's the dude's name in the comic book. Yeah. Is Victor Newman.
No, yeah. So,
and then I know her name ain't Victor. So anyway, yeah she, but then that's when
but
I
they didn't Victor. Go too far off.
Right, exactly. They really didn't.
Yeah, they didn't.
They're like, hey, let's do something creative and different, but not too much.
Yeah, definitely. Not
too much. Yeah, like we'll get more into her later because she has some plans. She's got some schemes going on. But later on in the episode, like or after Marie and Jordan break into Shetty's office, a drunken Cardoza enters Shetty's office and rambles about his virus, unaware that Marie and Jordan are hid underneath Shetty's desk. Such a great trope in TV shows. It's like
you think you can so?
Just hide. I mean, I think it's completely unbelievable, but well, it happens all the time where people just hide under a desk.
This situation was like, believable. I okay. do think the situation was believable because you don't deal with anything where he's walking around. Like, he doesn't walk around the desk. That's what the trope is usually.
And it, what's the thing called? The modesty panel, I think it's called.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so she had one of the, and also dude was drunk.
He was drunk.
Wasted.
He was, man, he peed in the damn liquor bottle. That's a whole new thing. And she never.
No, it's never not. That's the
you never
the
peed in nobody's like you never peed in somebody's mouthwash or like peed in a liquor bottle or
the peed whole in somebody's
Coca-Cola bottle.
I need to live a little bit more
when you when you drink all of someone's.
I haven't done that either.
The whole thing is when you drink all of someone's liquor and you fill it up with water, and when they know that's what you're doing, so they then fill it up with pee.
That is amazing.
What's the show?
I mean, gross. Oh, that's man. Gross.
That was, but yeah, that was a nice little way for Marie and Jordan to find out about the virus. Mm-hmm. So now they're extra worried about what's going on in the
extra.
The league. It's from the league.
Oh, is that from the league?
What's from the league?
The water in the bottle and then the pee to switch it out.
Oh, the league.
Jeff fucking Goldblum.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum.
When he cameoed down there.
Oh, man, I definitely did not see that episode. I need to watch more Lee.
Shout out to the Duplasses.
Great show. Yeah, shout out to them.
Michael and Katie.
This might be the second week in a row I've brought that show up.
And I probably gave him a shout out that time. You did. I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe if we do it enough, Paul Shearer will invite us on his podcast. Then later Shetty asked Colonel Grace Mallory for help in spreading the virus globally to kill all suits. What up, Gracie?
That was another good cameo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was crazy seeing her. I was like, oh shit.
And seeing her just kind of like a normal person, you know?
Yeah.
Not in hiding or like dressed up, just like out and about in normal clothes. It's like,
yeah, she was just like going to get some cigarettes, a bottle of tequila, and some condoms.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how she was dressed.
Yeah. Sounds like she was going to have a good weekend.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I'm obviously busy. Could you make this fast?
She looked like she was dressed for a good
butcher's waiting weekend.
Butcher's waiting. He promised me a rim job today.
Diabolical.
And I don't drive a car, so I'm
he's also a butcher in the circ.
He be butchering this. But
Mallory refuses and secretly orders someone to observe Shetty. And I'm sure that's going to come up.
Who later. Do you guys think it was?
I think it's Victoria Newman because she said she was working with Victoria Newman in the last season of The Boys. Mm. And because she said she had someone funneling her money from Congress to fund The Boys. And then we end up seeing that, what's dude's name?
Butcher?
No, the other little dude, the little corny ass nigga.
Cordoza?
Dewey.
Dewey. He ends up going to work with Victoria Newman.
Yeah, but then he has a pretty severe falling out with her.
Yeah, but he doesn't work there, but that doesn't mean she doesn't still supply them with the money.
And so that's thing. What I'm saying. I think that she gave the info to Dewey, not to Victoria. I don't think she would give it to Butcher.
Dewey, and Louie. Yeah, it's Huey.
Yeah, Huey. Because I also don't think she would have given it to Butcher for the same reason she doesn't want Skeeter to have it. I forgot her name too. I'm not doing good with names today, guys.
Well, yeah. Well, bring it. Who?
And you know, I've been honestly been recommending.
That's look, anybody who watches Drunk Bands knows that they're not gonna get names. This is a show.
It's not, here. It's in the dossier. It's not like
the chick who made the virus.
Oh, Shetty.
Shetty. So she doesn't like Shetty's plan of just kill them all. She's like, that's genocide. And I don't think she would let Butcher have a hold of it for the same reason. But, yeah, but I don't think she would trust us too.
I think she wants to use it because she wants to be able to control and make sure she's protected from Homelander.
Yeah.
Because she can pretty much, we've established that she doesn't really know.
You're talking about Newman now.
Oh, I was talking about, I thought you were talking about the virus.
Yes, but okay.
But then I think that Newman does want the virus to get out.
Okay.
And Shetty didn't want the virus to get out because she wanted to keep it for herself so that she could kill all humans.
I was talking about Mallory. I think Mallory gave it to Huey because Newman's a soup. Don't trust him. Mm. Shetty wants to obviously kill them all. She thinks it's genocide, and I think if she gave it to Butcher, he would go same route as Shetty.
Yeah, it's a nice, interesting. Like, there's a lot of different people it could be.
A lot of layers,
guys. Mm-hmm. Put in the comments who you think is on the other side of that. Yes, phone.
And thanks for y'all being here. Put some in the comments so that we know you're here. You know what I'm saying? Because we actually can't see you if you're not making noise.
Is it Huey? Is it Don Cheadle? Who's on the other
Huey, side? Huey, Dewey, Louie. I do want
to. We got five of you watching right now. So
I don't like to jump around all the time, but since we were talking about Shetty, I have a question. Do you believe that Shetty is alive, or do you think that that was Kate putting a mind game on everybody and putting them in a room where they think something's happening that's not happening? Or do you think that, you know, Shetty's dead? Shetty's dead.
Yeah, that's a good question to posit because it did seem like the tone in the room did a hard switch as soon as they got there.
Yeah,
like she's suddenly not crying in Shetty's arms.
Yeah, they were like having a good moment. It was like, you know, let's talk about love, love, love. You know, and then all of a sudden she's like, this bitch is trying to fucking kill us. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it turned real quick.
I was real, real worried that we're going to just fall into such an obvious route for the plot to go, which was them just like walking in and all of a sudden Kate's like betraying them. So I'm glad they didn't go that route. But I do agree with you guys that I don't know. Something else is going on there. It's too convenient. And frankly, let's be honest, they don't give us happy endings like that. Not in this universe. So my original thought was it was like some sort of shapeshifter or something. But Bill, I think your thought makes a lot more sense. It was just like an extra big push from Kate.
Yeah,
which would explain her eyes blown out too.
Yes. So this is my thing. Yeah, I think her eyes being bloodshot was the giveaway because we talked about it last week. When she pushes too many people is when she gets that bloodshot eye.
Yeah.
Not when she just pushed one single person.
Yeah.
And because a bunch of them walked in, she had to push everybody at one time. And I don't think her powers are limited anymore to just touching people.
I think it is.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I don't think it is. It's because I'm assuming, first of all, she couldn't have just touched everybody at one time when they walked in. But I think it's been restricted to only touch because the medicine we found out has been suppressing her powers to the point where she doesn't hear the voices. We didn't even know she hears voices and hears people's thoughts. So what if her powers have, you know, she's expanded her power so much. She's on a level like Jean Grey where she just hits you with it. You don't have to, you have no way to really Yeah, exactly. What we, and we are in a university.
Yeah,
full of mutants.
And I've been getting honestly hard X-Men vibes this whole show. I was like, this is what X-Men should be, but they'll never ever make a show like this.
I think they could. I mean, we'll see with the new movies and all of that. We'll see.
But what do you think of that theory, Jeff?
Well, so
what do you think there?
It would make sense if that's the case. I did not think it was the case because, so first off, I obviously had an issue with Shetty just doing everything Kate says without Kate touching her. I figured like maybe they're going to try and be like, Kate touched her and said, you have to do everything I say from now on. Maybe something like that.
Right.
But, I mean, even that's just kind of like a bit, then why doesn't she do that with everyone ever, you know?
Right.
But Bill, to your point, what I think happened is I don't think she just like, they walked in a room and she was just like, mind fuck. I think like she slowly made her way around the room and just like, kind of like subtly, like maybe grazing a hand with someone, and her power was activated, but she didn't tell them to do anything yet. So it was kind of like the suggestions there. And once she had them all, then she did it. And so I think like, what I think happened is I think everyone got there. There were like 15 minutes of them trying to be like, oh, we figured you out. While she's kind of moving around, getting them all under her umbrella.
Right.
And then once she's got all of them, she planted a fake memory of those 15 minutes.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which would also explain why, like, the mistake of telling Shetty to do it and she cuts it her throat without, you know, touching her and stuff like that.
Yeah, which was an incredible scene. Like the main actress, I guess you would say, the actress who plays Marie, I can't remember her name, but she did such a great job.
Jazz Sinclair.
Oh, such a wonderful. Give her all the Oscars just for that. Yeah. That's an incredible name. But yeah, she's just been killing it this whole season with just that moment where she like has to relive watching this, you know, figure that she idolizes die. It was really, really tragic. And you could really feel her pleading with Kate. She's like, please don't let me go through this again. And Kate immediately knows what she's talking about. She's like, no, I hate that you have to go through this again. I get what I'm doing to you, but I don't care.
So she can hear thoughts. So she can hear thoughts. Do you think she could see the memory?
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I think it's God level mutant. Jean Grey type shit. I think we're now what
we got. Phoenix Force Kate.
Exactly. I think we are witnessing an introduction to the most powerful character going forward in the Boys universe.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see her try and push Homelander, and she just like her eyes just explode, or she goes blind, or some shit.
Or what? No, like I said, I don't think she needs to touch you anymore. So
oh no, I meant like she's trying and he's just right. So no,
I understand. Right. No, I was just saying I don't think that she needs to touch him anymore. So I think she's probably not gonna have as big of an issue with those side effects. Because the side effects could have been from the drugs more so than it was.
So kind of like her body trying to do something while this drug's actively trying to stop it.
Yeah, that's why her blood vessels, because you know, Homelander was saying her blood vessels blow in her eyes because they're popping in her head like she's killing herself.
Yeah.
But obviously all of these guys have some kind of healing factor.
Guys talked about that briefly in the first season with the Boys. Now I'm just kind of hard to gauge what everybody's like power level is.
You know who doesn't? Stormfront.
Yeah, she got
bitch is dead.
And it is interesting. Like while we're talking about,
she killed herself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So she got blown up. I mean, well, laser-eyed, and she still lived.
Yeah,
she couldn't heal from it though.
No. I mean, like they have some kind of healing factor, like in some kind of way, because we would be dead. We just gonna die. I might be. I might live long enough to give one of them Vietnam movie speeches at the end, like. Come on, man. Tell my sister that I said don't steal my money.
If you think of it, like, just to exist, the majority of them have to, like, even just A-Train, to be able to run that fast, he has to have godlike healing or his body would just tear apart.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying, like, they kind of established this, but, you know, I feel like in this episode, I mean, not in this episode, but in this series, we're kind of getting a lot more of that.
Yeah. And speaking of black superheroes, before we talk about the ending of this episode, we got to talk about, he said A-Train.
I did. That's what I said.
We got to talk about that polarity scene for just a little bit. Where
there are so few black superheroes, I didn't even realize when he said it.
He went by so fast.
He was thinking of the comics like when he's a super white guy.
Yeah, you know, the fastest man on the show couldn't have been a white guy. It had to be a black guy.
Message.
I think he's white in the comic book.
What did you guys think of this crazy scene? Because it kind of felt like the scene in Logan where Charles Xavier is having the seizures and everything just gets fucked. And I'm still not sure what Polarity's powers are. Or
he can mend metal.
He's Magneto.
Yeah, Magneto, man.
Okay, gotcha. All right,
Magneto.
All right, and
he's gonna be evil.
Yeah,
you know that's coming. He's gonna be evil, man. And actually, you know what? Pause on the polarity thing. I'm so interested in where they're going with this series, because this series, I mean, the Boys next season is supposed to pick up right where this leaves off. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to lead us into the next series. Okay. So I'm so curious as to how they're going to do this, because I think Andre's going to become one of the seven, right? But that means he's going to have a character flip, where he's going to become a dick in some kind of way soon, right? In some way.
You can't he's gonna be the seven unless you're a dick.
Right, and I think Marie, we saw that happening here with Marie, with Victoria Newman. I got it that time, guys. See,
yeah,
if you stick around long enough, you'll see me actually nail some of these names. Victoria Newman kind of tells us.
Oh,
love you. Victoria Newman kind of tells Marie, like, yo, you better get with the fucking program, bitch. Yo, as me,
you gotta play the game.
Yeah, you get on the plane or get flown over. Because look, let me tell you something. You want to be the first black woman in the seven. I was like, oh, she's trying to turn her out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She was talking like a pimp.
And I really liked how she was kind of coaching her, like she's showing her her powers have way more implications than, you know, just making swords and stuff out of blood.
Which also, by the way, turns out Newman's power isn't just like head explodey.
Yeah,
it's full on, which somehow makes her power more brutal, because instead of just like, hey, I can explode heads, she just decided to tear all the blood out of the dude's skull through bone, muscle, and skin.
Yeah, she could have sucked his blood out of his body. Might have actually, you know what? That probably
she could have. That would probably blood knife to the throat.
And you could tell that this is like some trial and error, because maybe she did go through like a blood knife phase in college, then she graduated. She's like, you know what? This is the most efficient way to kill someone. Just pull all their insides also out.
If I keep putting my blood on all the crime scenes, I'm gonna get caught eventually.
Right? Yeah. It's like their blood, not mine.
She was killing people in the 90s.
The other thing that goes to show us, Marie, the
DNA came out when
after that first episode of CSI, I had to change my name.
After that OJ case, I was like, man, I better get me some,
whoops.
I better get me some different techniques.
But it also goes to show us, Marie. The entire time we've seen Marie, I've just been like, why does she keep cutting herself? There's got to be other ways to use blood where she doesn't have to, even if just like you take something like you hit like, all right, a nosebleed. Some of it comes out of my nose.
Right.
Like you don't have to like.
Yeah. It's like, why does Emma cut? Like, why does she vomit? Like force herself to throw up? Why can't she just take a shit? Why does she have to throw up?
Can like, you I mean, imagine how big that shit would be? She'd be sitting above the stall at the end.
Yeah, when she's big trying to get small, that'd be wild. It would be wild. She would have like an elephant sized pile of doo-doo.
Just wear the diaper to save
ruin
time.
The plumbing.
Save time. What you gonna do with the diaper?
Wait, actually, yeah, when she shrinks down.
No, what you gonna do with the diaper after you have filled up?
I'll tell you what you do.
Elephant size, larger than an elephant.
I'll tell you what you do. You go, you eat some more food, you get big again. Right there, you got a mall. Hit him with it.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. You're gonna get smaller. You're gonna smell that fucking fresh pile of doo doo, and then you're gonna throw up and get even smaller. You might keep getting smaller. You might not ever be able to come back.
I do have a quick random question. I know it's a bit early in the show.
Quick random question. It's our segment in the show called Quick Random Question.
And Rick and Morty, the grandson is Morty?
Yes. Roll Tide.
Okay. Real quick. Alex, just perfect placing. It looks like you're the top of Morty's body. that made me so happy.
That's actually who he is for Halloween back to right now. Alex is Morty. Yeah,
Morty for Halloween.
I am on the Hawkins High School basketball team.
Congrats.
Football team. I'm on the Hawkins football team. I made varsity. It finally happened, y'all.
I
made
the varsity. Cutoff.
Yeah, you know, it's 80s, baby. It's Hell 80s. Yeah. We out here. We're doing it. You know what I'm saying? Hold on, since we're laughing at stuff. Let's take a shit. I mean, exactly, right? Like, come on, man. Let's doo-doo.
Thanks for coming through, Crime Roomba.
Yeah, man. Good to see you again. Yeah, you don't have to throw up. You don't have to throw up. And she clearly doesn't have to cut herself. And she knew that then. I think she knew it. Mm. You know, because she can... She all Victoria Newman said to Marie was, tell me something about myself. And then Marie immediately looked into her body and was like, oh shit, bitch, your ass got compound trees.
Well, so I think after Marie saved the person, she knows she can use other people's blood too.
Right.
She took that bitch's blood in her.
But that was her first time doing that. So like I think she just is kind of figuring certain things out. But that one thing I think she's always known because she told Emma.
Bitch is in college. She's got to start thinking more.
She does. She told Emma though when her period was gonna come. So I think she's always known.
That's right.
That kind of stuff. So I just think that she. Well, I don't know what y'all think about this.
Well,
I think that she has this issue with like consent type shit. Like I don't want to violate this person's privacy type shit, or like, you know what I mean? Like she's she's a Gen Zer. So she probably don't want to like hurt nobody's feelings. Oh man, you know, that's their business. Right. She could tell her all kinds of things about people. You got cancer,
right?
Or you gonna have cancer?
She's like a very respectful person. Like, yeah, she's not trying to read you. It's cool seeing this development.
I thought it was just me, so I'm making sure you feel the same way.
And no, yeah, it's cool seeing her discover the limitations of her powers.
Although I will say, she just told Emma when she was going to have her period. We don't know if she was right. She might have just been like
an episode later where she's like, "You're wrong, bitch."
Right? You know, like, right? What's that old joke? I can do math crazy fast. What's 37 times 342? 4. That's not even close to right, but it was fast.
It was hella fast.
And then at the end of the episode, Newman straight up murks Cardosa with
Head Papa. Can I make a joke? I make a joke? I just thought about it right now.
What was that?
Victoria Newman is a head doctor. You know what I'm talking about?
Very good.
Hey,
which is interesting because Emma's the shrink.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
10 comedy points to both of you. Beep, beep. But
look at that.
And I really loved. It was just a perfect needle drop. But the yes, heads will roll. It's come on, this is the best song to play at that moment. But what did you guys think of just like this ending? What do you think that Victoria is going to do next? What does she with this? With this virus, we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I was about to say, I already said what I think she's going to do with it. She's going to use it.
You have any other thoughts about like what Vicky is up to?
So I think I agree with what Bill was saying earlier. She wants it for control. Mm-hmm. I think she also wants it for Supes like Homelander, who she's not stronger than. Now it doesn't matter if she's stronger than them or not. She can fucking kill him.
Fucking
and kill him. She knows that she, oh shit. You know what I just realized? This makes it even better with her whole blood power shit.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, I was like, all right, the only thing she's got to figure out is how to get it into Homelander's body. Well, with her blood powers.
Well, she can throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
She can like kind of,
oh,
she yeah. can kind of like skeet it in there. But yeah, with her
up a nose, her, down the blood, throat, and an yeah. ear,
she could just drop a little her drop of blood
mm-hmm.
and like yeah, and then give him AIDS
up with the thing, and yeah,
and oh, wow. she knows that it's not like contagious, you know,
superhero AIDS, right. Vin V,
yeah, not just AIDS,
not yeah, just
super AIDS,
yeah, super AIDS.
It's one drop of that, and you're dead in a week. but she also knows like it's not contagious enough to like it's not airborne. So like I mean, right. she's. Sneaky about it, which she's been usually pretty sneaky with her powers.
Sneaky, I'm very she can get sneaky, it to work.
Yeah, yeah, guys, put it in the comments. What do you guys think Victoria is up to? Was it her schemes? When they're gonna bear fruit? We're gonna talk about that episode, the next episode next week. But right now, we're gonna be talking about Loki season 2, episode 4, Heart of the TVA.
God damn.
At the beginning of this episode, Ms. Minutes reveals that in the past, Renslayer commanded He Who Remains his army, and he proposed that Renslayer lead the TVA with him, then had Ms. Minutes erase memories of Renslayer and all the other TVA employees.
As you do.
Renslayer.
Hey, if you're trying to increase work morale, just wipe everybody's memory so they don't know how sad they are.
Tell you what, they'll stop asking for a raise for a while.
I'll tell you what, if you could do it, it'd be hard pressed for you to not do it. Like if right? you even I'm if you don't even if you're not even the boss, you work somewhere and you go, you got the ability to make somebody lose all their memory. Are you not gonna come in late?
Oh, yeah.
Like every night? I mean, every day, whatever you work, night or day. Are you not gonna show up late?
Right, I would make my boss forget all the mistakes I've made.
Yeah.
as
a matter of fact, I'd make him fire a couple people to get them up out of here, and you know, give me some days off.
Every time they unionize, he's just like, "Oh fuck, wipe him again."
but what about you, Jeff? What did you think of this intro? Because we kind of hypothesized this as one of. The secrets for Renslayer last week.
Yeah, I'd say we were actually really close. I mean, I was thinking and honestly more hoping she was a variant, but I mean, I think we kind of knew that she wasn't. I will say one thing I actually really liked about the opening was they show up at the end of time and everything, and his body's still just fucking sitting there. Yeah. I don't know why, but I was like, that's a great fucking touch. Who would have gotten rid of it, you know?
Right. I love that.
And I thought that was an awesome touch.
Yeah. Super, super creepy and morbid. I was like, ooh, like I would have been totally like, we would have all forgave it. If like they got there and he wasn't there, we could have just like left it up to time magic or whatever.
We wouldn't even have thought of it.
Yeah. But, yeah, him still being there is a really awesome touch. Mm-hmm. But how did you feel about, Renslayer being the, secret commando with a memory?
Secret.
Wipe?
Agent woman, secret agent woman.
Yeah,
you mean that?
Yeah,
she was. Sure. Well, you know, look, I kind of spoiled it last week. I said, if you were here last week, I said, look, Ravonna is his Ace Boon Coon in the comic books. She is his general. She helps him slay everybody and win the fucking war against the Kangs and the Avengers and all kind of shit. And then he leaves her.
Yeah.
He's just like, all right, I gotta go. I can't be around you because ultimately I'm not really supposed to be with you at the end of time.
Yeah, it was pretty spot on from what you guys guessed last week, and it wasn't dissatisfying. It made all the sense in the world, and then Renslayer's like, "Well, fuck all this. Let me get myself a new fit, and head up to the TVA and bust on these fools.
And go hardcore murder.
I don't think she got a new fit. I think she just really just got herself together. She's like, let me get my hair together.
I just feel like that that blouse or whatever she had felt new. She had like a blouse and a skirt. I was digging the look.
Hold I feel those are very 1800 Chicago. God, learn your fashion. Stupid.
Fashion. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm digging a lot, all the costumes in this
yeah. season.
But yeah, what did you guys think? Like we talked about it a little bit already, but what about that Renslayer scene in the prison?
Holy shit.
With the box.
What's in the box?
Whole lot of people.
ain't no people in there no more.
Yeah. I mean, there's you know people soup, maybe a goulash.
Yeah.
I thought that scene was so fucking intense because, like I've always been saying since we've been covering this since season one, this motherfucking sound design guy, and the guy who's doing the score, mm-hmm. or girl, I don't know who's doing the score, but let me tell you something. A1. The reason you love this show over all the ones that we've seen previously is because this motherfucking show has the motherfucking shit. It's like the way the music build up to a scene, the way that the blood was dripping in after everyone had clearly been squished.
Oh yeah.
Was she squished in the dead to death?
That was a nice
and
touch.
Like and the way Miss Minutes was just like
Miss Minutes was so creepy in this movie. She was so happy.
I fuck with it. Ooh, look at her leg just busted. It just exploded. It's just crazy. I love it.
Like, not even indifferent or just like, yeah, this is what you deserve. She's just like filled with joy. Like, this is the happiest I've ever seen her. Yeah.
She dove into the machine and turned it on and came out like, man, that was some good sex. I mean, like,
yeah, she did. Yeah. She came out like, ooh, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this.
By the way, Bill,
get this.
David Trestka, I might have mispronounced all of that last name. Oh, sound designer. That's the sound designer. Natalie Holt is music supervisor.
See, yeah, well, yeah, music supervisor. I wonder who did the score though.
I'm sorry, original music by Natalie Holt.
Oh, okay, yes, because that that's why I said or girl because I couldn't remember from last season because we talked about it last season. Couldn't remember if it was a woman or not.
Yeah,
but that fucking intro, that theme song,
oh, it's so good,
like, it's incredible.
Bum, 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 bum. I think hands down, it's the best theme song in the MCU, especially like the TV shows. What do y'all think, Jeff? What do you think? What's your favorite? I don't know. What's your favorite so far? Or is it this one?
I mean, it is Loki. It's so interesting because she has a way of taking it and like kind of filling the room with the sound while still making it almost like at parts quiet and creepy. Mm. So it's usually like the creepier musics are softer and quieter, whereas hers is creepy but overwhelming. It's oppressive almost. It's like time weighing down on you.
Yeah, it just comes over you. It flows over you because and even when she uses like very sweet moments, the Loki, the two Lokis,
the Loki makeout sesh, gotcha.
Yeah, the makeout music, like will they or won't they music,
it's
really with sweet. The violin, but like it builds into that. You know what I'm saying? Like it. She knows how to really write for what's on the screen.
Yeah,
but.
As the kids say, she understood the assignment.
Sorry, right, exactly. Yeah, she knows exactly what kind of show that she's writing for, and she's really great at establishing the tone for a lot of these scenes. Mm-hmm. And
speaking of establishing the tone,
we should interview her.
Oh yeah, right. Please come on the show, Natalie. Yeah. We love you,
Natalie. We know you're watching. Just comment with your DM, your socials down below. We'll get in touch
with your Finsta.
Yeah,
hit us on your Finsta.
Your Finsta X.
But yeah, like, sorry, I was just searching through Natalie Holt's
IMDb accomplishments.
He's just looking at dirty pictures on
the, I mean, she is cute.
She look, well, I,
he was not looking at her, he was looking at dirty pictures.
but yeah, then it is revealed that the
she did Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought that was interesting. I was like, oh yeah, I did remember liking the music for that show. Yeah.
If you liked it, if you liked that show, then that's the reason you liked it.
yeah, it's revealed that actually before that, as the Temporal Loom reaches a catastrophic failure, Loki and his allies attempt to use Timely and Aurora Borealis's multiplier to fix it.
Say it with some bass in your voice. Yourself. Say it with some bass in your voice. Say it with your chest.
It's a made up word.
Just gonna say it. Damn it.
No, throughput like, is not that made up.
All words are made up.
Motherfucker.
It is. it is revealed that the source of Aurora Borealis's knowledge is Timely himself, creating an ontological paradox.
Now, that sounds made up, but I know that it's. I know both of those words are real.
I loved that little moment between Timely and Obi. Like, what did you guys think of just the chemistry of the whole cast here, just with Tom Hiddleston and Kaylee Kwan, Jonathan Majors, everybody's doing great. What do you think?
Shut up, Alex. Jeff, you, sir, had an issue with the way he was doing his, like, stutter and, like...
Oh, no, that. I didn't have an... yes.
No, I'm saying, like, yeah, like, at the beginning of the last episode.
It was just one of those things where, like, when he started with it, it was like, okay. Then when he kept going with it, it was like, And then when he kept going with it, it was just like, all right, so we're doing this? I guess we're doing this. But it worked in this one.
That's what I was going to say is I think that setup, like, just put you in it when, like, oh, this is just how this dude is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it set us up for the beautiful moment, in my opinion. It was a beautiful television. This is a movie on television. This is the reason they were trying to do this shit, because somebody was seeing the dailies of this shit right here. And they were like, oh, no, we got one. We know what we're doing.
This is it.
Yeah, we don't need no help.
Yeah. You know, when your first two are WandaVision and Loki, you're like, ah, we got it. The rest will be fine.
Yeah, man. Like, we'll be fine. Yeah, but like, I'm curious as to what y'all think, because I forgot what I was talking about.
We were talking about the meeting between Ouroboros and
Oh yeah. It was just Timely. A beautiful cinematic moment that felt cinematic, but it's, you know, I'm fucking watching the TV show. That's why I'll be mad at the end of every episode, to be honest with you. I watch this as soon as it comes out, so that way I'm not mad all weekend or mad when I come on the show. If I come on the show and then I'm pissed off because I just fucking watched it, I'm like, God damn it. Like, why didn't they answer no questions? They're perfect. They do perfect jobs with the cliffhangers. But yeah, like, OB wrote the TA handbook. Like, they had the moment that we had last week.
Right, yeah.
Like, how can he have written it and then they have written it? But he created the TVA, but then Ouroboros wrote the book. But then Ouroboros wrote the book, but he writing in the book. So is he writing the book? And then OB says he read the book and then wrote off the book to make the book. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
You guys know the fun part of all that, right?
Timey, wimey, wibbly, wobbly stuff.
So OB mentions it's like a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, you know, Ouroboros.
And yep, that's what that is. It's called an Ouroboros.
Yeah. It was so many nerds that were like,
I was so fucking happy at that scene. It was great. It was, and it's from, not Viking, Norse. It's from Norse mythology.
Oh,
yeah, Norse mythology.
Because it's a snake circle
eating its own tail. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Ouroboros says it like, a snake eating his own tail.
what's the snake from North Yardenberg or something? I think he's one of Loki's kids. He's also an Ouroboros.
Oh, and I'm little known fact.
The world snake.
Little known fact.
Yeah, you're right.
Human centipede is actually Greek mythology. So that's
actually real shit. Though,
tell you what, human centipede looked like it was more German mythology.
Look it up. Hey-o. Look it up. Yeah, don't give it to the Greeks. My name is Greek.
Renslayer and Miss Minutes attempt to take over the TVA, approaching the detained wolf, Dox and her loyalists.
Hold on, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to stop you before you get to what you're talking about right there, because we have to mention one thing.
Hot
Coco. Yes. Coco. Coco.
When, machine?
Yeah, when that as beautiful as the scene between him and Ouroboros was, the scene between Victor Timely and Mobius with the Coco, that shit
that was great.
Had me fucking dying laughing. I want to know what y'all think, you know, real quick. Do y'all think that was improv or like maybe not in like maybe cut out, or do you think rather that was something that was kind of throwaway that they were like, no, we need to put this in the show? Or do you think it was, you know, written like that?
I think that this is one of those great moments where it was written and they performed it so well that it just felt very natural and improv-y. Like, there's a lot of times where
I don't mean that it was improv-y. I'm just saying, like, do you feel like it was really meant to go in the show, like it was written, and then, or do you feel like they were like, yo, that actually really was dope, but we don't know if it's gonna actually make it in, and then it just kind of made it in because it filled some space. It made it funny because you could take that scene out really, and he just go get some cocoa.
Right. I weirdly think that that's going to be important later. Like the
cocoa,
like the phone call in the hallway. I feel like that's going to be something that's more important than it needs to be. Because I was like, why are they spending so much goddamn time on the cocoa? Even like later when he's handing the cocoa to the TVA agent, I was like, what is up with the cocoa, man? I felt like Mobius. I was like, yeah, man, it's a cocoa machine.
Yo, dog, that shit was so fucking funny. I wish we would like had pirated any of this shit, because like then we could show you all the videos. It definitely wasn't something getting out.
Getting cut.
Oh, getting cut. Excuse me. Well, that looks like out right there for my eyes, because this is timing.
My popo eyes.
My
thing was, I mean, he's supposed to be from what, 1865, I think it was? Maybe 1867?
Yes, yes.
And I was just wondering, and I wasn't able to really find anything on it. I was wondering, was hot chocolate very common back then? Especially he came from a much poorer background.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if, like, to him, that's a huge deal.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously based on the way he's acting, yeah, but I don't know if like there's a historical reason.
Yes, historically, you're absolutely right. I'm the resident historian here on the Drunk Banthas, and I'm here to help
historian you out. / law expert.
Oh yeah, actually, I am the Drunk Banthas lawyer as well. Not a real lawyer, so do not fucking DM me about any of your shit. I don't give a fuck about your cousin who got locked up. I keep getting DMs. Dude, I don't care.
I'm not a real lawyer. I was going to call on you. I accidentally trapped people in a shrinking box and killed kind of a lot of them. And I needed someone, man.
As a friend, I will talk to you off camera. But
oh, thank God. Okay.
Give you the friend price.
What was I saying?
Hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah. The hot chocolate was not, you know, it was a thing back then, but it was not like, yeah, something that you would just have. Chocolate in itself was something that you would be like, oh, my God, they got motherfucking chocolate over here. That's probably how a lot of, like, kidnappers and, like, pedophiles probably
got. That's how it started?
Like, if you have, it's not how it started, but it's like, if you got a fucking chocolate back then, like, goddamn, you could probably get, like, a bitch off of fucking having some chocolate. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could probably, like, go to the fucking club, go to, like, a juke joint, have a little piece of chocolate with you, and you'd be like, hey, girl, yeah, you got me some chocolate, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be like, oh, shit, this nigga got money.
So you're saying it was kind of like back in the day when like people would rent out pineapples because they were so impressive. And just right. had them on a table, not eating them, just sitting on a table at a party.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't need to eat it because it ain't even ripe yet. I'm gonna just put it on the table because it's a good decoration. Yeah, man.
That being said, I fucking love pineapple.
Fucking love pineapple. It's a god fruit. It's like, one of them like super foods.
Assholes, Alex. Assholes don't like pineapple.
Don't eat assholes, Alex. God damn.
Wait, what? Is that where we went?
Moral of the story, staging. Never eat metaphoric assholes.
Yeah, Alex could be in the douche.
The other ones are fun.
Wolf, I'm just moving right along. Wolf Prunes, Hunter D90, and Kidnaps Timely.
At the cocoa machine. It all comes back to the cocoa machine.
While staging a rescue, Sylvie and Loki encounter his time-slipping past self, so we get like a callback to episode one. I thought we were going to wait longer before we paid that off, but it was very nice.
Yo, let me check you on something right here. Something's still missing. Something in this show has, like, time-wise, has fucked me up. And I think we still got a lot to be explained.
Okay.
First episode, Loki has to get himself together because he's time-slipping. I'm still trying to reconcile with that. No?
I thought they reconciled that.
No, I'm just saying, like, that was what OB said when he could, you know what I'm saying? That's what he said when he saw it. He said, "You just saw it happen." He's like, "Yeah, I'm still trying to reconcile that." So, yeah, so y'all gonna get that in the car later. But, yeah, then he, like, sorry, I forgot what I was going because y'all didn't get my joke.
Time slipping.
Yeah, so he's time slipping. He's time slipping, and then he goes back so that he could hit the little button. He's supposed to hit the button, but he slips back in time on accident, and then he sees that Morbius has written in the dust on the monitor skin because
his went bye bye.
He's about to lose his skin, possibly. But no one's in the room. Mm-hmm. But when we get in this episode, we see that everyone is in the room when he supposedly his past self is running around looking for Sylvie.
Right.
And then he gets to the elevator and has to prune himself. Oof. Well, why was there no one there when he appeared in episode one? Right. So it leads me to believe that still hasn't, like, something there hasn't happened. Because how would he have ended up there? Either that's a bad edit and nobody thought about that, or we're going to see something more to come later. Because, like, yeah, why would nobody be there when we saw it in episode one? But on this episode, everybody was in there. OB, B-15, what's that dude's name? The homie.
Timely? No. The random guy that when
Lenny
in like season one episode one was talking with Loki when he comes out.
Oh yeah.
Andy from Tacoma FD.
Wolf?
No, nigga. You were talking about the wrong
person. You guys keep talking. I'll
the dude
find
with the tie.
I got it. Hang on.
He's helping OB. I was just talking about him the other day.
I can't remember the actor's name.
Has like six shots. He don't remember the actor's name. I'm gonna tell you something.
One shot.
I'm gonna tell you something. Well, let me say, look, if he drinks
the actor's name is Eugene Cordero. In a
cup.
His name is Casey.
Casey, yeah, Casey, the dude that helps OB.
Okay, gotcha.
This nigga don't know.
The guy who's like,
this is a sad story because this nigga knows everybody's name in Hollywood. He know every white person name in Hollywood. He can't figure out.
This guy's not white.
Exactly.
Aurora Boris deactivates Miss Minutes and the TVA's magic suppressing devices. This enables Sylvie to enchant Wolf, controlling him to pursue Renslayer. Timely is rescued and is able to restore access to the temporal loom, but loom's increased temporal radiation spaghettifies him before he can even launch the throwput.
Who is Wolf?
Plier. That's Brad Wolf.
Hello.
See, you remember things like that.
I remember things that are written.
He's the guy who, that's all that I remember. he's the guy who was a hunter. Here's
yeah, Brad. Like, I don't know why he called him my Wolf.
Because that's his last name.
And that's
yeah, I'm just saying. Down. I'm just saying. I don't know why he said Wolf because it's Brad. Like, I know him as Brad because they've been calling him Brad the whole time.
When they grab his head and like they enchant him, don't they say Wolf?
I don't know. I've just known him as Brad the whole time. Look, on the baseball, when I play baseball, everybody uses to call each other by their last names. Except me. I just used to call you by your first name because that's what the fuck your first name is. That's what your first name is for. I'm not in the military. I'm not calling your ass by your last name.
But maybe he's like Nick Fury where he only goes by Fury. Who knows?
But anyway, Alex.
What's his mom call him?
What did you guys think of the ending of this episode? Because it basically looks like everybody is dead.
Yay!
Jeff, do you think everybody's dead?
Well, I mean, clearly they're not. But
yeah, we got two more episodes to go at least.
Clearly, they're not dead. But I loved the ending because I always have theories from what happened. I always have like maybe if this happened, then this happened, or if that happened, then that happened. I have no fucking clue where they go from here, and I love that. It's very rare for me to have no clue what's coming up, so yeah. that made me happy.
I feel the same way, but not in the sense that I don't know where they're going. Like, I mean, you probably feel the same way. Like, I have a lot of ideas of where they're going, but I don't feel I also feel any of them. Yeah, but I feel like maybe like shit. However many you could think of, it's probably like a combination of them all. Who knows? But I agree with you. You don't want to guess because what I'm saying is, or what I'm thinking is, it's just going to be something that none of us have predicted yet. None of us have thought about yet, in my opinion. I don't know why we all think that we, people who have never actually written a television show, can write a television show better than people who write television shows.
Well, so, based on the other Marvel MCU shows, that's why.
Well,
to answer your question, sir.
Well, you know, like I'm always here trying to bring that level of objectivity because you got to remember the conditions can make it really hard. Like if you could be LeBron James and going out here and playing a basketball game and have a terrible game if the air conditioning ain't working in the 75,000 person arena.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have a lot of bad shit happen to you if you're not in the conditions that, you know, make it where you can actually produce.
Yeah. And people also, like, you know, people like to criticize certain things that were like, oh man, I didn't like it when they did that in the story. But yeah, I'm listening to the Marcus and McFeely talk about how they wrote Avengers Endgame. It's like they wrote a million other different scenarios for like what people could have been doing, and they decided on what we ended up seeing. Yeah. So it's like you got to give them props to getting to the place,
right?
Because like we wouldn't even thought of like any of the millions of things that led up to the thing that you have a problem with.
Right.
So it's like give people a little bit of leeway in that sense when it comes to like writing these big fantastical stories. But I do
I mean, well, with that said, what did you not like about this show?
Well, I agree with Alex. The writers are pieces of shit and fuck all.
Yeah. You know, what did you not like about this show?
So, you know what? The show, the very little, the episode things I didn't like. I actually don't think I have anything I didn't like.
Ooh.
If I'm being honest,
you don't have a sound. I think it's in here, but I don't know where it is.
The only things I didn't like is Renslayer got away, but I don't like I don't like that because she's a piece of shit and got away. Mm. It's not I don't like it because it was written poorly.
Right. Yeah. You know, actually, it means it was written well if you actually have any feelings about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, why do you care? It's not real. But exactly. Like, that's how you can tell it was written well, Alex. How did you feel? What did you not like about this episode?
One thing
nobody does this segment anywhere else.
One thing I did not like, or I guess
I mean, that was basically our idol breakdowns.
Right.
That was all it was.
Yo, I love the gift that keeps on giving. Oh, man. Yeah, that joke, you can pull that joke out at any time. It's like a poop joke at this, at this point in my life.
Oh, sorry, Alex, I interrupted
Never
you.
Never forget. No. You can always interrupt me for an idol. If at any point you want to do that, please do.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be contextual.
Oh, God, yeah, that's your new Halloween costume. Just walk through rooms clapping.
I just clap.
<I'm> staring.
Jesus, it's a shit in here. I just keep going. One thing I will say that I guess I don't like about the show, at least this season, is that it is a little weird that, like, well, things are moving so fast that the TVA doesn't have enough time to really ask the question. Like, everybody's pretty much in Mobius mode.
What's the question? Like,
the question is, the question, like, of, like, but so why are we doing this though? Like, what are we fighting for? What is, like, and like, I'm almost more on the side of the I guess the extremist TVA people who get crushed in the box, because they have like a reason for doing what they're doing.
Well, no, they also, but see, they went on, they turncoated. Because if they went on their morals that they had before they got put into the cell, they would have
gone with Renslayer. Yeah,
exactly. They would have went with Renslayer, but you know, B-15 got to them with the code of morality and justice and preservation of the TVA. Because clearly Ravonna wants to get rid of the TVA, like destroy it, start over. Because she just realized, yo, I was like the second most powerful person in the goddamn universe. Why can't we go back to that? Like,
in her mind, she's earned. She deserves it. She's earned it. You know,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, and this dude don't deserve it. Look at his dumbass, fucking wiping my memory. Bitch ass nigga, that's how she's looking at it right now.
And Miss Minutes, you'll never be him.
Exactly. No, yeah. You look. Let me tell y'all something.
Which
right
I guess
now.
She was right. He's human spaghetti now.
Yeah.
Maybe she can see the future. See the future.
Man, they took all those people in the box and made them some grizzly goulash, and they made him just some human spaghetti. Just making everyone into food.
He's like Mr. Fantastic and Doctor Strange.
Yeah, y'all gotta know, such man. Just movie. Listen to me right now, people. Men, do not, men and women, do not get two women that are in love with you and piss them off.
Yeah,
and put them in the same room together.
You never seen First Wives Club?
What in the absolute hell is wrong with you, Victor Timely fucked this whole goddamn thing up. Because when they put him in the room, when he first sees them, since he left them in episode three,
it's so good to see you.
You are okay.
You know what they say? Hell hath no fury like time traveling crazy bitches.
Yes, that's exactly
what they say.
That's what they say. But look, let me tell you something. Ravonna, I don't know how even why would you be doing her like that? This lady is gorgeous. She down for you. She literally murking niggas all over the universe.
Yeah, like, he does seem remorseful about it when he does it, like as if maybe he's done all this before like an infinite number of times, and is like, yeah, it didn't work out that last 600 times. She got crazy. We are I'm glad. Maybe this time we just make her forget.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. That's actually a great point, because in the comic book, he kind of realizes that at some point, I believe, and then he like just starts a cycle where he becomes Iron Lad at one point, because you know he's Mr. Fantastic's son or great grandson. And so he becomes Iron Lad in the future, and then he meets Kang the Conqueror. Kang goes back in time, meets himself, tells himself, hey man, you don't never need to give a fuck about no bitch, and you don't never need to be feeding no bitches. Quit feeding these bitches. And when you meet this bitch Ravonna, like I think he had like met Ravonna and he was like dating her, he came back and killed her. Kang like came back and killed her.
Damn.
And then like made him like do all this evil shit that made him become.
You imagine Kang, like drunk that- future yourself coming back in time and just being like, leave her! like, don't fuck with that bitch. I'm trying to save you.
Fuck that. He did more than that. He came back and killed the bitch.
Yeah, God. It'd be like imagine Rick, future you coming back like, and killing your girlfriend. It'd be like, I'm doing you a favor.
It'd be like Rick coming back. That's the only person I can imagine doing that to themselves. Oh, Rick going back in time and just be like, trust me, I'm doing you a favor.
That's a very Rick thing to do.
Portal himself back. Like, all right.
And speaking of which, before we wrap up this episode, is there anything else that you guys want to talk about for this episode of Loki? Any predictions of where we might go in the future? Do they end up in an episode of WandaVision? Are they going to all be puppets? Who knows? What do you think, Jeff?
And if you also have the answer for that, put it in the comments. Yeah, Jeff, you go right ahead.
It'd be amazing if they turn into puppets and end up torn in half by Sam and Gen V. That'd be really, I'd really enjoy that.
That would be dope.
But no, I have no predictions for where the next episode's going, which again, I'm very happy about. Mm. My one last note for this episode is I do love that Timely's method of death was spaghettification because he stepped out of there and spaghettification is what happens as you approach the speed of light. So it was just, he steps into this great energy field and accelerates the speed of light. And then just
like a black hole? Is that what you're saying? Like
the closer you get to a black hole, the more your body spaghettifies. Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. So that also, speaks to, everybody be talking different.
When you look outside of, if you were able to see outside of what's going on around you, which I technically think you can't because the gravity is so strong, but you'd see time going just crazy. So the closer you approach the speed of light, the slower time is.
Right. You're basically time traveling when you
approach
the speed of light. Things are supposed to stand still basically for you, and like every time will pass for everyone else, but for you it stands still. So let's just say you were moving the speed of light around the earth, just around the earth in like orbit, and then when you stop, let's say you did it for like 6 days.
Okay.
When you stopped, it might be like, I don't know the math, but let's say it's like 60 days later or 60 years later. Mm. Like, but you'd be the same age. That's how that shit works.
Wow. Timey, wimey, wibbly, wimbly stuff. Time's crazy, man.
Yeah, they all, but look, we're moving on to the next topic because we got to talk.
Alex, what did you think about the? Did you have any predictions or anything?
No predictions. I do feel like we're gonna go into like something super hyper realistic, maybe in the next episode. Like, you know,
don't quantum mania us.
I think they're gonna WandaVision us. Honestly, I think they're gonna end up in like something crazy, like, you know, a Dick Van Dyke episode or something like, or maybe puppets. Like, I feel like it's gonna be something really weird.
And what if they take the Loki cast through all the other MCU shows?
Ooh, that would be great.
Ooh,
I would love to see Loki walk through She-Hulk. That would be hilarious. that's really all. I don't really have any predictions too, because like you mentioned, they kind of left it predictionless. Like, you can't really guess what's going to happen to the next
episode. You said dick,
and that's pretty. But if you guys want to try to guess, leave it in the comments. Let us know what you think we're going to be in for next week. But we're going to be talking about Rick and Morty Season 7, Episode 5 next. Unmort Rickon.
God, Rickon.
I hate these titles so much.
Alex is always, let me tell y'all a secret. Alex has always hated the titles. I don't know why.
Because they're impossible to read. They put Rick and Morty into just a word, and they're not real words.
They're selfish. Honestly, you're selfish because, like, you should just, like, why are you mad?
I mean, I get mad about stupid things. You guys know this about me by now. Episode's called Air Force Wong. It sees the president attempting to woo Rick's therapist, Dr. Wong, played by Susan Sarandon. Love that she comes back. And I loved that when, in our first episode,
we was just doing the Gotham Gazette last night on Nerds at Night, and we was just talking about this white folks playing Asian people.
Yeah. And nobody bets not that the white dude plays Rick Sanchez.
I have a friend, Fina Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Fina, producer, actor, mm-hmm. voiceover actress. Her name Sanchez. She right. not
right.
Latina.
Right. And then, so, you know, who knows? Colonialism digs deep. Wong could be super white too. I did like in the first episode where she was introduced, or Dr. Wong introduces Wong. Herself to Beth. She's like, "Hi, I'm Dr. Wong." And Beth was like, "That's racist."
Yeah. See, yeah, but that's how you take it and you make it funny again.
Right.
Right. Like, we clearly have a white woman playing an Asian woman because Lucy Liu would not make herself available. So we had to get
this. Oh, Lucy Liu would have been great.
Yeah, I mean, of course they would. Look, name me the Asian lady that they would have done it with other than her.
Maybe Ali Wong? Maybe that'd be too on the nose. Oh,
Ali Wong would have been good.
Maybe that'd be too on the nose.
They wouldn't have got Ali Wong. She probably would have had PTSD from being a therapist. She'd have been like, "What the fuck? Like, I have to be my therapist. I don't want to be my therapist." Like, shit.
She's also not the biggest fan of like going out of her comfort zone to the right. point where like San Francisco, that's where she's from, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, they offered her a comedy thing where it's like, "Hey, you can do this stadium," and she's like, "Instead, let's just sell out this theater 12 times."
Yeah, some people run away from fame, you know. But damn, what's the old name? What's her name? Something Chow.
Deborah Chow? No.
She was on X-Men, she was on Nash Bridges.
X-Men. You're talking about the
X-2, Lady
Deathstrike, yeah.
I met her, she's super nice.
You ain't give her a name.
I don't know. I saw her at a Comic-Con. You don't know, real there.
But that's who could have played her. That's all I was trying to think of.
Yeah, she's been great. She's got a great voice. She does some voice mm-hmm. acting. And has Ali Wong and Lucy Liu. Futurama and Big Mouth.
Yeah. Couldn't get either one of them ladies, huh? Could you? Could you guys?
Susan Sarandon.
Shout out to you, Susan Sarandon.
As the president recruits Rick to save Earth
Kelly from who? His
ex-girlfriend, Kelly Hu. Yes, wonderful, wonderful actress.
Incredible actress, actually. Took me 2 seconds to realize that you were telling us the answer to the,
yep.
to the question.
Yeah, we almost got ourselves in a who's on first joke.
Yep.
She was also the voice of Karai on the 2012-19 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's right.
Talk about it.
She's pretty great.
Alex, every episode that there's the president in this, it fucking goes crazy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love how we talked about this a little bit off pod. I love how fucking insane the president is. He's just so
played by Goliath,
played by Keith David, the incomparable, legendary Keith David. Such a great voice.
Mr. David, I will call you Goliath when I meet you in person. Just letting you know. That's what you are. You Goliath.
Yeah. Some people just can't escape their best roles. I remember when my mom met LeVar Burton at an airport once. LeVar Burton, obviously, famously Geordi from
Geordi LaForge.
Geordi LaForge from Star Trek. My mom said, "Geordi," when she met him. And he was like, "I'm so glad that you said that. Everybody always calls me Kunta."
Yes. Oh. I mean, that's his most popular role, regardless of the fame from Star Trek.
Right.
You could have had the most fucked up and funny response to him saying, "Everyone calls me Kunta."
Yeah, no, oh, we weren't there. She was. It was our mom. Shout out to mom. You know, we're not gonna say her name because that would implicate her in all of the things that we're doing right here.
LaVar's gonna be coming for you. I'm still waiting for my LaVar Burton shirt to come in the mail.
Actually, shout out to LaVar Burton. Come on to the show, Butterfly in the Sky.
Yeah, Butterfly
in the Sky. I can fly twice as high. Come on, fly.
We're gonna ask you. We'll ask you. an hour of reading Rainbow, an hour of Star Trek, and maybe two questions on Kunta. We don't care about that. We care about the nerdy shit. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's while we're at it, Dan Harmon, come on to the show.
Oh, please. We're both.
I bet you if Dan Harmon came on the show, he would get wasted and talk for 4 hours.
Probably. We have something in common. We both attended but did not graduate from Glendale Community College. So we have that in common.
This guy was the editor for the paper 1 year at Glendale Community College and did not graduate from Glendale Community College. As a matter of fact, everybody in the chat, not many of you, but you, everyone who is there, please go and at on Twitter Dan Harmon and tell him Drunk Banthas need you on the show. We need you on the show.
We need you on the show, Dan.
Peer pressure is the best pressure.
We got so many things to talk about.
I mean, I think it's kind of obvious that it was Harmon's take that Troy was obsessed with LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, such a great episode. Such a great series of episodes, man. Yeah. I mean, sorry.
You never go to a star, not a single time. Community,
and then we were going to get caught.
No, you're good. You're good. We've already filled up the space that we need to keep talking about Rick and Morty because it's only a 20-minute episode without commercials.
It's a very short episode.
I checked every episode. You don't go to a star a single time. Not once.
Never.
Not once. I did like this episode because it does bring back Rick's ex-girlfriend, Unity. The hive mind who's come to Virginia and has taken over the population.
For people who are hanging out, because clearly there's a lot of people who just dropped off because they don't watch Rick and Morty.
Clearly, it's like, all right, this is not my shoe.
For those who may not know anything about Rick and Morty, like Jeff, see, we're here, like, catching Jeff up. That's really what's going on. We catching Jeff up on what's going on.
Yeah, every week, we try to convince Jeff to watch Rick and Morty. That's what we
do. President, find out next week. Will Jeff have watched Rick and Morty? Find out next week on the Drunk Banthas podcast. You never know. Next week, he might have seen it, and maybe next week after that. Same Jeff channel, same Jeff time.
Give us a little history on Unity, who is played by the incomparable Christina Hendricks.
So, my favorite episode is the Unity episode.
It's a great episode.
It's the relationship episode, as I call it. They have, like, maybe four or five relationship episodes in this show. I mean, like, over the seven seasons now, Unity can take over. She's a hive mind biological organism that has the ability to take over multiple planets at a time due to the ability to throw up into someone's mouth and then take over their body.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
Pretty rad.
I mean, gross.
Hashtag girl boss.
Girl boss. That's right. She goes and takes over all species, all types of species, and she's all over the planet. Her goal is to basically, like similar to the Borg, is to just, like, assimilate all of the universe.
Yeah.
And actually, in the episode that she's introduced, we meet a Borg-like species that has that steals her from Rick, who is dating Unity at the time,
played by Patton Oswalt.
Yes,
is playing like
he is the Borg.
Ultimate Herb in the beginning of the episode.
Remy himself.
Like, yeah,
he's just Remy. His speaking of best roles, but yeah. Like, he's coming in as, like, a complete Herb, just like, I didn't know you had company, but it's like 80 of them all saying it at the same time.
It's so great. Sounds like a prompt for Whose Line.
Yeah. Really does. Well, I mean, I swear some of these things are a prompt for Whose Line. I think there's so many things not written down before they record this, but Unity breaks up with Rick for Patton Oswalt, and Rick goes back home at the end of the episode and almost kills himself in one of the best sound exits for this show was that episode. And I think yeah. all of the ones with the best endings with the needle drops, those are some of my favorites.
Yeah.
Just because they're the more emotional episodes. Mm-hmm. And how do you get in them? If you can invoke emotion in a fucking ridiculous ass television show like this, you are a one writer in the entertainment yeah. business. Like yeah. you, and I'm not, when I say you, I know it's a lot of you. So that's what I'm saying. You when people. I say you, I'm saying you people without saying you people, because
cool.
I know
they're you all only have mind.
One black person. You only got one black person in the room, so I know that just because that's just it's just statistically you only got one black person in it.
Sorry, I looked up and I saw the president making out with this zombie, and I was just I forgot that happened in this episode.
It did happen.
So
now Unity comes back. Rick is going to see his therapist, Dr. Wong.
Yeah.
And the president hits him up, Keith David. He decides
nice.
To create a diversion or create a disaster so that he can get Rick to come help him so that he can then try to fuck his psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Therapist.
It's so weird. His obsession with Rick is so insane. But I love it. I love their relationship with each other. And it always gets super, super weird anytime that the president comes in.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. And I did like, and I'm curious of what you think, because I was reading, like, while I was doing research for this episode, by research, I mean just like copy and pasting descriptions of the episode into my phone.
By researching, I mean, I put it in the ChatGPT and I asked it to give me a description of the episode.
I will never use ChatGPT. But well, never say never. But I don't.
What was the strike even for?
Yeah,
right. Mm-mm. Matthew McConaughey is telling us to ask more of AI. but I'm curious what you think of this episode, because I saw somebody said in an article that this episode is retreading a lot of ground that older episodes did, and that it's kind of a weak point in this season.
I'm glad you said that.
Oh, damn.
I'm so glad that you said that, because those are the same fucking idiots that have been begging them to break the actual fucking format that had stood for three seasons. They're the ones, you dumb bastard. You're the one who fucking said, hey, I want you to make up what happened to Unity. What happened to Mr. Poopy Butthole? What happened to the guy who killed Rick's parents? I mean, his family. Where was Rick when he left? When he left his family behind? What happened to Beth? What happened to you, motherfucker? You're the reason that now you're tired of them rehashing other episodes. You stupid bastard. That's why
you're the reason mom and dad got divorced.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's your fault.
You're the reason Justin Roiland fucking lost his goddamn mind, because he got tired of fucking writing episodes that he didn't know how to do, because he never intended to do any of this shit. It's you. You are the problem, because goddamn it, they said they didn't want to do this shit from the beginning of the creation of this show. They never wanted to be doing what they're doing right now, which is revisiting shit and tying loose ends. Mm-hmm. They never wanted to be dealing with this shit, which is also why I think that they do it in the way that they do. Rick has to figure out who killed which one of the many Ricks in the universe. Well, so we'll say Rick variants for those who may have not seen it.
Yeah. We did just talk about Loki, so that's a good.
Right. Yeah. Like all of the Rick variants that are out there, which one of the variants killed my wife and kid?
Right.
Which one? Now he's out here looking for him. To me, that's them saying, I don't know. And then now him getting closer and closer and closer. It's like, this is dangerous. Right. In this episode, Unity points out to him, like, she's worried about him, because you're out here trying to find the guy who killed your wife and kid. I think that that's a life imitating art. Like, man, you're getting close to figuring this out. is this gonna fucking kill the show?
Right.
Is this gonna make people like get to the point where mm-hmm. are we gonna jump the shark when we find out
right
where this Rick yeah. was and what this Rick is and why this mm-hmm. Rick does?
Are you gonna marry Bones? Because like I always like
Bones, that, like I... like Jimmy Bones?
No, not it's check out our episode of Bones.
On you the like that? Up. You like
no, that? I always I really like that show Bones. It was like a fun little procedural for a while, and they had the fun Will They Won't They with between Angel
you
and
you just Zoe liked it because we had more Angel.
Yeah,
that's what hooked me. That's what it was. That's what hooked me. That's
but I stayed. Is that like some Navy SEAL show now? Are you watching that too?
Yes, Navy SEALs. No, it's on Paramount Plus. Such a though.
Fangirl.
I couldn't go that far.
I can't go that far, but it is on Paramount Plus, and I ain't gonna lie, they do.
I don't got
they
that
do
one.
Military stuff pretty good at CBS, so it might be a pretty decent show.
I mean, yeah, but you know what? I'm gonna watch
also,
it tonight.
Also, actually, it's an old show. It started on Paramount Plus when they made Paramount
got rolling.
Plus, and now it's on. On CBS as well, like it's on television there as well. It's kind of like if they had one of them Peacock shows that is on there, and then they just bring it to NBC, like on TV.
Yeah.
Or maybe if Apple TV took
brought it to an iPod.
Yeah, like what's that show that everybody be watching?
Ted Lasso.
It's like if Apple TV brought Ted Lasso to NBC or some shit, you know, like
God, great show.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot. Yellowstone, they're putting that on CBS now.
No, that actually they lost.
I thought that was on NBC. AMC.
It was on NBC, AMC, same thing. NBC gave up the rights to that because they basically were like, "We're getting rid of this shit. It's not working out." They basically made that so Peacock could get numbers. It wasn't working, so they gave it to CBS, or not gave it. Obviously, they bought it, but they sold it to CBS. CBS is going through some really weird shit. They're like the lowest valued studio.
Well, they have the highest price for their streaming, and it's the same shit. Well,
that's the reason, though. They have the highest pay. They have the highest one because they don't have no money. They need all of the money.
But their price is why people aren't giving them a chance.
Well, no, they still have CBS. There's not much going on with CBS either. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, like on regular television, Morgan, people just don't like it. What
Morgan in the chat said, Ted Lasso is over now. Couldn't talk Jason Sudeikis into doing another
season. Okay, but good.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's not going to go on until it sucks.
No, Jason Sudeikis is going through some things. He got a divorce with a very hot, amazingly hot, dope person. So
yeah,
he's going through some things right now. He got kids. Look, he done made enough money. Look, I'm saying
Ted Lasso is how he got over it.
You say he got over it.
His new girlfriend's on the show too.
I say he didn't get over it because remember we had that movie come out.
Oh yeah,
and then that brought everything back up to the because they actually had been divorced and separated for a while, and then y'all want to bring their business back out into the streets. So I think that, and that's around the time he was like, "Yo, I ain't doing this shit no more." Because you got to put yourself out there, you got to do press, and then people ask you about that.
Right.
But anyway,
Rick and Morty.
What I meant by Mary Bones was
how we got there.
Was that like the show really declined from being like its fun procedural self when David Boreanaz married Emily Deschanel's character? Because it's like, well, this Will They Won't They is
the
over.
Better that Deschanel
question has the sort of dramatic question of the show has been answered, and now I don't have any reason of tuning in anymore.
Is that I said she's the better Deschanel. Is that problematic?
I don't think that's problematic. I don't know how to feel
fast
about that.
Fast answer. Though. Just yes or no?
I'd say no.
That's
just because
two no's, one yes.
I haven't seen her act in enough stuff to have an opinion.
That's the thing. Okay. She's great as Bones.
Look, you could see her in one thing and know she's better than Zoe.
I haven't seen her in Bones.
That's all you got to know.
I like Zoe Deschanel.
Have you ever seen Zoe Deschanel?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Emily?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then, goddamn, which one was better in that?
Again, I like.
Aren't they the same person?
Y'all can't be goddamn objective. I just want to know, man. Give me the goddamn shit.
I said Zoe because.
Okay. To answer your question, Hannah Simone. CeCe yes. from New Girl.
The reason I feel like y'all's answer was bullshit because you just basically said, I like them both.
No, like, I mean,
that's allowed.
We spent enough time on the Deschanels, two people who are not on the show.
We talked about so many things. I said quickly, but you gave me a political answer.
We don't do shit quickly.
You gave me such a political answer. I was trying to nail you down with an answer. Like, give me a real answer.
All right, moving on.
But yeah.
But did you like the way that this episode ended? Because on a similar note as the last episode with Unity.
Not really.
But not the same.
I mean, yes. I mean, similar because they don't end up together, I guess. To me, it ended up completely different. The ending, I guess, like the way that they put Rick by himself could be considered the same.
Just visually, ending. the him.
But like, no, I think this ending showed you a lot of growth with Rick. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell her to go fuck herself and suck his dick and kiss my ass and all this shit. He went home. He didn't try to kill himself like he did the last time.
That's a good start.
He just got a beer and went to drinking and then went to one of his nemesis's house and then like hung out with him so he could get over his breakup.
But first, he listened to the voicemails that he had
He did listen to the voicemails, and we talked about those voicemails because I was like, yo, she just showed up, man. Wow, that's weird, dog, right?
It is.
So if your girlfriend... We can ask Jeff this, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you broke up with your girlfriend, or no, rather, your girlfriend broke up with you, she just left you before another dude.
Okay.
She calls you back 4 times. Do you answer?
How long?
How long are the...
No. How long since she left me and she called me back?
Ooh, at least 1 season. Oh, no, at least... It's at least three. It's at least 5 seasons. 5 or 6 seasons. That's season one, right?
No, it's season two. It's not season one.
It's season
probably two. Like season two.
It's season two. So yeah, at least 4 seasons.
Did we have any sort of relationship before we dated?
You had a relationship. You had a crazy relationship. You had a hive mind relationship. You were fucking all of her hive minds.
Okay, no. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, were we friends before we dated?
Yes. Mm. That's how you met.
I would take the first call, and if she kept going, I'd be suspicious as hell. I would assume she just got. If I get like 4 calls in a row, I'm thinking it's one of two things: she's in trouble, she just got dumped, and she's trying to use me to make herself feel better.
Alex, same question: would you answer the phone if you were in this scenario, or would you just be like, I'll just wait till this bitch show up at my door and knocking on the door and acting crazy. Because that's basically what happens in this episode.
I just wait for things to end violently. That's yeah. I would probably answer the phone call depending on like how long it's been since we've talked.
It's been years.
Yeah. Well, I guess actually, I would probably answer the phone regardless.
Well, let me tell you something, people out there. Don't do anything that they just said in that situation. Don't answer the fucking phone. Somebody broke up with you years ago and they just now calling you back because they heard that you might be in trouble and you might be going through some bad times. Fuck that. Bitch, I'm going through these bad times because your ass left me. Fucking left me.
Wait, so no. So that's different then. So like, okay. So for example, I was going through a real, real fucking hard time a while back, and I reached out to an ex, not because we dated, but because we were friends for years, and she knew me so well, and I just needed someone who knew me and knew how I would think and feel about things. Mm-hmm. To talk to, and she helped a lot, and that was it. And then we didn't talk anymore. I mean, like, it was just she's a good person, and I know that she would be there if I needed some help, and I asked, and she helped.
You know what? You're a fortunate person because a lot of dudes, like I've heard from prostitutes that that's what a lot of their clients do. They don't even have sex.
Well, I mean, I did pay her a lot while we were dating.
So, you know what? The terms of our dating relationship did depend on whether or not I was paying. but you're in a good situation when you got friends that you can reach out to like that. I'll also say this
within like the 3 years after she dumped me, not a fucking chance. I was exactly. bitter. I was pissy. Yeah. It was everything was her fault. Like, no.
So he was Rick. That's what I'm saying. He was Rick. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just to bring it back to what we were talking about, because we got to be talking about what we're talking about, Alex.
I love a cartoon that makes me think seriously about past relationships. Like, that's what I like.
I feel like cartoons. There's all kind of sarcasm riddled to that statement.
Just a dance.
I'm gonna pull this comment up just for that.
But I know I did definitely really like this episode. Like, I liked the callbacks to Dr. Wong, because I feel like she's been in two or three. I love the episodes because there's all kinds of subtext in Rick and Morty. You can love this show for it being just a wacky show about like these gross things happening. But there's always a subtext of just like this weird depressive despair about just like the human condition that's underlaid through every episode.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons people like it so much. And I feel like this is just another layer of that, where they're just talking about relationships specifically in this episode.
They have several relationship episodes, and it's really good to see that this season they're continuing that trope, because I don't think we got a relationship episode last year. We got, well, I guess Beth. No, Beth was not last year, right? Yeah, she was the Beth clone thing.
That was last year. Last season, really.
I'm just saying that's a relationship episode. Mm-hmm. It was a relationship episode between Beth and Beth.
And they had the Morty episode where he falls in love with the Captain Planet.
She's a hero. Gonna take losing down to zero.
Hey, that's what I hear on
one streets. Decapitated body at a time.
God, I love that. I need to rewatch last season, actually. I need to rewatch last season of this and last season of The Boys, because I remember nothing from both of those seasons.
That's because he writes all the scripts for everything here at the Drunk Abandon.
You guys should see me before every episode of Doesn't Hold Up for the podcast. I'm just furiously typing.
And then he has to start over, because that's not how you type.
He's like, I fucked everything up. Before we get out of here, Jeff, could you tell the people where they can find you on the interwebs?
You can't. You can always try Skyping Don Cheadle's driveway at littledickie2.com. It's because of the hackers. You can try and find Jeff Madel on Facebook at Madel Jeff on Instagram. You can find me, at least for the next couple of weeks, Monday nights, hanging out with the Drunk Banthas. And if I'm not there, I'm usually on the Nerds at Night and or Nine Nerd Yards podcast over on YouTube.
Yay.
I don't know why I just said that. I just feel like I did it because you did it, and
I told you did it because I did it. That's exactly why.
It's just like I'm not that guy.
You are right now. You should feel that way because you damn sure just did it. Don't be trying to steal my shit. God damn, I've been telling you, you can't do what I do. You gotta do what you gotta just be with me when I do it. That's what you gotta do. You can't do what I do. You gotta be with me when I do it.
But guys, thank you so much for listening to the Drunk Bandits podcast. We do this every once in a while, so go ahead and leave a like and subscribe so you can get updates on new videos. Check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Twitter, IG, TikTok, likewise, all the internet things at the Drunk Bandits. Till next time, stay safe, my little hive minds, and may the force be with you.
May the force be with you. Goodbye.